It's okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, I apologize. I got a little held up. I'll try to still get everything in. Parshas Miketz. Here we go. So we are on page 222. The parsha begins. We'll start a little bit in, but the parsha begins with Yosef in jail, and Paro has some dreams. Paro has two dreams, in fact, as we recall from past years. He dreams of the seven cows, first of beautiful appearance and robust flesh, and then they're followed by seven cows that are not so appealing. And then he has a second dream of ears of grain, which were then again followed by 7 ears, thin, scorched by an east wind. And we know that the thin ones eat the more robust ones, and you can't really tell the difference. And he wakes up, he's not sure what this dream means. Everybody, all of the king's men and all of the king's horses try to interpret Paro's dreams, and nobody is successful. Nobody is able to give an interpretation that sits well with Paro. And then finally we get the Sarah Mashkim says, the cupbearer says, you know, I remember once I was not so good and you threw me into jail, and while I was there, there was this Jewish boy, this lad, he was a servant, he says all sorts of derogatory things about him, but he was really good at interpreting dreams. Maybe that's who you should bring and we'll be able to help you out. And that's what they do. They rush Yosef out of the pit. They change his clothing. If you just, I'm following along, we are in about verse 14, Pasuk Yudalad. They rush him out of the dungeon. They shave him. They change his clothing. And Paro says, I had a dream, but no one could interpret it. And I heard that you know how to interpret dreams. Yosef's response, which is a good introduction to our, we'll be studying this section of Psukim, is in Pasuk Tezayin 16. He says, Bil Adai Elokim Ya'ane et Shalom Paro. It's beyond me. I don't do dreams. He says, it's not me. He says, it is God who will respond with Paro's welfare. If you want to tell me what your dream is, maybe I can help you out, but it's not me. I'm not the one who's doing the interpretations. Hashem is going to interpret, and I'll simply be his messenger. Verses 17 through 24, from Yitzayin to Chavdal at the end of the page, is Paro's telling over of the dream. And there's what to talk about. If we wanted to spend, we could either talk about the different, how Paro tells it over to Yosef versus how he seems to have the dream itself. He makes some slight nuances. We're not going to be focused on that this morning. What I want to focus on is Yosef's response. Yosef's response, when he gives his interpretation, is on page 226 and 227. It's going to take us from the top of the page, right at the very top, Pasuk Chafei 25, all the way down to the bottom of the page. So this entire page, I hope we'll get through all of it, we'll do it quickly, is Yosef's response. What I'd like to do is try to break down how many different components would you see in what it is that Yosef responds, to break it down into various parts of his response. You'll see already that Art Scroll broke it down into three. How do I know that Art Scroll broke it down into three? Because they make it three paragraphs. Now, if you look on the right-hand side of the page, what do you see in the actual Chumash? How many paragraphs? None. It's just one long sentence. The Torah just tells us this is what Yosef said. It starts with the word Vayomer on the top of the page, and the end of the word Bara'av, that's the last word of Yosef. So it's in the Torah, it's just one long sentence. Art Scroll broke it down clearly into three. So it's just that they're arbitrary. They're giving us three. They put new paragraphs in. I think we'll find three, but let's see if we'll find the exact same three as Art Scroll did or not. And we'll take a look. This is really not mine. Nechama Leibowitz, who I've quoted numerous times, she sees in this three, but a little different than Art Scroll. Now, she was before Art Scroll, so she's not like quoting them and arguing with them. She just happened to have seen different breakdowns than what Art Scroll here gives us. So let's take a look at what we have. How would you break down the components of Yosef's response? So far, so good? Let's do it. Yosef says to Paro as follows, Paro chalom, chalom paro echad hu, eis asher alokim osei gidu paro. Paro, the dream of Paro, he says, is a single one. Because remember, there were two dreams. Paro has one dream with the cows, and he wakes up, goes back to sleep. He has the second dream with the grain, the grain, and then he wakes up a second time. So Yosef starts by saying the dream of Paro is a single one. What God is about to do, he has told to Paro. Then he explains, Sheva Paros Hatavo, Sheva Shanim Heina. The seven good cows, they represent 7 years. And the seven Shibolim Hatavos and the seven good ears of grain also represent 7 years. It is a single dream. Now the seven emaciated and bad cows who emerged after them, they are also 7 years, as are the seven emaciated ears scorched by the east wind. There shall be 7 years of famine. What has he done so far? Let's just stop along the way as we go through. What has Yosef done so far with his interpretation?
He
hasn't yet given the bad, I mean, sort of bad news. What has he really done?
He's combined the two things.
He said it was one. What else did he do? He explained the symbolism. What do the seven cows represent? 7 years. What do the seven grains, the ears represent? 7 years. And then we have good and bad. We have healthy cows and not so healthy cows, healthy grain, not so healthy grain. What does that mean? Whenever you have a dream, there are a couple of components if you want to understand what the dream is. So the first component is, what do the symbols represent? And then once I have the symbolism of what it represents, now we can tackle and try to understand what's the meaning of that which takes place in my dream. So we know what takes place in the dream. Well, there are cows that eat other cows, and there are grain that eat other grain, and then there's no mark that's left. After the thin cows eat the thick cows, but it doesn't look like... That's all what's taking place. But before I can understand that, I just need to know... What does everything represent? So what has Yosef given us so far? What's the representation? Good cows, bad cows, 7 years. Why there's seven of them, 7 years? Good and bad represents healthy years or not so healthy years. Lean years, we'll call them. Excellent. It is a matter that, now verse 28, Chafchet, Hu adavar asher dibarti el paro, this is the matter that I have spoken to Paro, Asher ha'elokim oseh hera et paro. That which God is about to do, he is letting know to Paro. He's foreshadowing, he's giving you a message of that which is going to take place. Now this verse, Chafchet 28, is very similar, not exactly a parallel, but pretty similar to which pasuk? Chafchet, the first one. Right, the first verse said the dream of Paro is a single one, in which Yosef lays out that there is going to be, that really the two dreams are just one. They're not to be viewed or understood as two separate dreams. It's really one. And then he says what Hashem is about to do, he's telling Paro through this dream. And now here in verse 28, after he gave us the interpretation of the symbolism that seven represents the years and years of plenty and years of famine, he now says again, this matter that I've spoken to Paro with Hashem, what he's about to do, he is showing to Paro. Let's continue. 29. Hine, behold, Sheva Shanim Ba'os Sava Gadol B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Great abundance. 7 years of great abundance are about to hit Mitzrayim. And then V'kamu Sheva Shanei Ra'av Achareihen. And then immediately following those seven, represented by the seven healthy cows, immediately following those seven, we're going to have 7 years of famine. V'nishkach kol hasava bi'eretz Mitzrayim. And so bad that all of those years of plenty will be forgotten. Despite the fact that you're going to have tremendous growth and abundance, the years of famine will cause all of that to be forgotten. V'kilo hara'av es ha'aretz, because the famine will be so ravaging in the land. What's the how's he interpreting so far? Now we're moving into a new stage. What's he doing now? I really just gave that away, but
interpreting.
Right now we're no longer describing what the symbolism means. Cows, seven cows represent 7 years lean. We're now interpreting the meaning, because something happened in the dream. What happens in the dream? The weak, the thin, the emaciated eat, right? Consume the healthy. And you can't even tell the difference, Paro. We didn't go through because we were short in time. Paro, you couldn't even tell the difference. Now, we have an interpretation here. And that is, as Rashi understands what Yosef just said, that the fact that they eat up the healthy cows and you can't tell the difference is symbolic. It's to be interpreted as the lean years will completely cause you to forget, to destroy, to ravage the land. You will not even know or remember the plenty. It's going to be very, very heavy. And the fact that it happened twice, it's because this matter stands ready and Hashem is hastening to accomplish it. So as he then explains, then why do we have it twice? Because he says this is about to happen. And if it only would have happened once, so that would have told you this is about to happen when? I don't know. It's going to happen. Somewhere down the road, you're going to have this. The fact that it happens twice, that's to let you know that this is immediate and it's going to happen in the very near future. Okay, let's just continue and then get the whole thing together. And then Yosef shifts into V'ato Yeire Paro Ish Navon V'Chacham. Paro should seek out a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Mitzrayim. And Paro should proceed and appoint overseers of the land, prepare the land during the 7 years of abundance. They'll gather all the food, they'll amass it under your authority, and then that will be a reserve against the 7 years of famine so that nobody in the land will not perish in the famine. So let's break down the components. What are the three components, besides where we actually put the breaks in the paragraph? But there are clearly, I think pretty clearly, three different components to what Yosef does. Step number one, defines the symbols. Seven cows represent 7 years. Seven healthy cows represent 7 years of plenty, and seven thin cows represent years of famine. So there's symbolism here, and we're told what the symbolism is. Stage two,
interpretation
of what does it mean that thin cows eat up healthy cows without any distinction in their appearance. One would think that that should change. And what does it mean that it happened twice, but once with cows and once with grain? I could have the Torah says that many people came to interpret the dreams. So many people might have interpreted cows representing one thing and grains representing something else. There are lots of potential interpretations here for the fact of we have two dreams, cows, each the same thing happens twice, but they're in different ideas. So, A, he gives the symbolism, it just means here, and then he interprets what's going on, that this is what's going to happen. First, we'll have years of plenty, then years of famine, and what's the interpretation of the fact that it happened twice? It's immediate. So, section two is, he gives symbolism, then he gives meaning, and then what's the third phase?
Tells them what to do.
Now I have a plan with what to do. Now, there's a major question here, which I'm going to mention, and we'll get back to in the end. What was Yosef brought to do?
Interpret the dream.
Who is he right now in the Egyptian society? Where on the hierarchy is he?
A prisoner.
Right? He's as low as you can get. He was sold as a slave down to Egypt, which is already pretty low. And then as a slave, what happened to him? He's thrown in jail. So he's lower than what he even came in as. So as far as Paro knows, who is this guy who's being brought in front of him? A gornished mit gornished. Right? Nothing. What was he brought to do? To interpret the dream. At which stage would Yosef have fulfilled his mission? After the second stage, right? One is the symbolism, two is the interpretation. I've just told you what's going on. What does he then do? I have an idea for you, Your Royal Highness. I have a plan. How to save your great big country from impending doom. So we have a separate question, besides for the one that we're working with right now, is what gives Yosef the audacity at this moment to not only explain and interpret what he was called to do, but then to stand in the royal court and tell Paro what to do? Paro just wants to know, what does this mean? You told him. Could Paro have come up with such an idea to use? Maybe. maybe, makes sense. But Yosef adds that. Now that's an interesting point. That's taking a certain risk that Paro would have had every right to say, excuse me? Very nice, your interpretation. I've received dozens of interpretations. I like yours. But now you're telling me what to do, how to run this country? Anyway, that's a certain risk that Yosef takes that he does. Let's just leave that aside for now. Three stages, symbolism, interpretation, and then what to do, a plan. How would you break it? An art school clearly broke it up in their way. Is there any other way that you might have thought to potentially break this down? I'll give you just a second to look it over again. As you do so, let me throw out a certain hint. How many times in this story, this page, does Yosef reference Hashem? Well, I'm asking, okay, Matt, how many? How many times? Go through it. Now, don't just count the name of Hashem. Yeah, like ideas. How many different times does... Yeah, any guesses? It's three. Three, let's take a look at them, right? In the very first verse, in 25... Yosef says to Paro, it's a single dream. What Hashem is about to do, he's letting you know. So he introduces his interpretation with, Hashem is telling you what he's going... I mean, you're asking me to interpret, Yosef is saying. But I'm just telling you, this is what Hashem is letting you know what he's going to do. And then he explains what? He explains the symbolism. Seven good cows, it means 7 years. 7 ears, it means 7 years. It's really a single dream. Seven emaciated cows means 7 years, but it means the years of famine. Now we have the symbolism. In verse 28, he then says again, this is the matter that I've spoken, what Hashem is about to do, Yeshon Tepara. There's a second reference of, technically speaking, that really shouldn't be there, verse 28. What does it add to the story? He doesn't add any information in verse 28. He already said when he started, Hashem is telling you something. Okay, so tell me. In 28, there is zero information. Verse 20, Chofchet. This is a matter that I've spoken. What Hashem is about to do, he's shown to Paro. That's what he told us already. Then he explains in 29, he goes into the interpretation phase. 7 years, great abundance, but the years after are going to be so ravaged and so famished that everything will be forgotten. And then he concludes in 32, and as for the repetition, the two times, it's a matter that stands ready before Hashem, and Hashem is hastening to accomplish it. So we have the introduction of Hashem is about to do. In verse 28, this is what Hashem is about to do. 32, the repetition, this is the matter that Hashem is ready to do. And then he goes into, and this is what I think you should do about this. Yeah, so far so good? Take a zen. So,
I'm allergic to my scarf.
What you see clearly what Art Scroll does is Art Scroll believes that verse 28, which is that Hashem, and verse 32 are concluding thoughts of the paragraphs. At the end of each time, that when this is the matter that Hashem is about to do, end of the paragraph. Behold, interpretation is a sort of a new thought. The Chama Leibowitz would argue with Art Scroll and say that each one of the three phases that Yosef does, symbolism, interpretation, plan, is actually introduced with Yosef saying, Hashem is taking care of this. This is not me. This is Hashem. And she would break down the paragraphs a little different so that there's a header to each paragraph And the header is, just like Yosef said when he was first brought out of the pit, and Paro said, I hear you know how to interpret dreams. And Yosef says, not me. God will let you know what he wants. And then Paro tells him the dream. Yosef then follows that thought by saying, I'm going to give you three phases of what you need to know. And each phase I'm going to start with, Hashem is letting you know what he's doing, which he does clearly in verse 25 in the beginning of Pasuk Chaf Hey. It's a single dream. What God is about to do gives him the symbolism. She would put a end of the paragraph at the end of 27, Chaf Zayin, and then 28 is a new introduction of the interpretation stage, because that verse doesn't really add anything other than, I have a new phase, Hashem is letting you know, and here's the interpretation of the dream. It's going to be abundance followed by such a famine that no one's going to remember. And then it's going to be terribly severe. And then she puts 32, not at the end of that, but now towards, this is what you now need to do. At this point we can argue, but she would put in the beginning of a new paragraph, seeing the significance of the repetition of Hashem is about to do this as introducing, and this is what we need to do, because this is going to happen now. Put somebody in place now in order to get this ready to go. That's how she would see this, and this is the follow-up of Yosef saying, this is not about me. This is as we watch the expression of Yosef and his tzitkus. We spoke about last week how he was still a nar. He was still a lad. How many years have gone by since last week's opening parsha, the first story there, and this story here? The Torah tells us, we didn't read it together, but when we skipped over that, when Yosef stands before Paro, he's 30 years old, the Torah says. How many years have gone by?
17.
Excellent. He was 17 in the beginning of last week's parsha. He's sold by the brothers into slavery at 17. At 17. 13 years have gone by. Now, what we don't know is how many years did he serve as a servant to Potiphar until he was thrown in jail. Now we don't know. I don't know if it was 2 years with Potiphar and 11 years in jail, 3 and 10, 5 and 7, whatever. I don't know. But we know it's 13 total years. We know at least two of them are in jail, because that the Torah begins was at the end of 2 years from the time that he interprets the dream. So at least two in jail. But 13 years have gone by. He hasn't seen his brothers, hasn't seen his father. He's been either a slave or a prisoner for all 13 of these years. And now he stands before Paro as a young man of 30. And he says, it's not about me. That's the first thing he says to Paro after being in jail and a slave for 13 years. It's not about me. Now remember, we last left him with his brothers. He's the favorite child of Yaakov. Favorite child, shown the symbolism through his coat. And now he emerges, it's not about me. And then as he interprets the dream, he heads each line, each phase of the interpretation with, this is not about me. This is about what Hashem is telling you. And he goes through the symbolism, he goes through the interpretation, he goes through the plan. Now, as far as the plan goes, we're left with the question. What gave him the audacity, the chutzpah, to throw that in? It's not what Paro asked for. Now, there are three approaches to this. Rashi's approach would be, he doesn't really say anything. I would say, according to Rashi, let me rephrase that. Rashi says the fact that the fin cows eat the healthy cows, Rashi says, is the interpretation of that is that we're going to forget the years of plenty, which is the way that we've been expressing this in Talmud. That's based on Rashi. That's the interpretation. The fact that the thin cows eat the healthy cows symbolizes the years of famine, so to speak, will eat up the years of plenty and will be nothing left from them. You won't even remember them. Based on that, we have the question of what gave him the audacity to offer an interpretation, because it wasn't part of the dream, his interpretation. And we'd be left to say, I don't know, he felt empowered. He felt that it would work. He on his own came up with this and just shared it. The Ramban argues on that point. The Ramban actually says this third section of the plan is part of the dream. part of the dream that the thin cows eat the hefty cows and don't leave a mark is to be interpreted as they're going to eat. The thin cow subsists off of the fat cow. What does it mean that the thin cow eats the hefty? It means, how does he survive? He survives by eating. So Ramban says, this isn't a chutzpah. This isn't audacity. This is part of the brilliance of the interpretation is the thin cow will eat the healthy cow. That's how he'll survive. And therefore he includes that in his interpretation of set somebody up who's going to take care of gathering up. If you let it squander, if you don't store it appropriately, you're not going to have, but you're going to need to eat the healthy years in order to survive during the famished years. I just want to conclude and share a thought from the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel just writes a beautiful idea. He writes that let me just introduce that comment with one other thing. We don't have open prophecy during this time period. Just a fascinating historical insight as you work through the Chumash. Avraham has very often, Vayomer Halokim El Avraham. Hashem speaks to Avraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. We have numerous times where there is a direct communication in which Hashem speaks to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But that ended with the Hashem speaking to Yaakov of a parsha or two ago. With the birth of the 12 tribes, there is one thing that we never see in Chumash. There is never a Vayomer Hashem El Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Never. There is not a single overt reference in which Hashem speaks to any of the 12 tribes that we know. Maybe he did. We don't have any reference in Chumash to that. And it doesn't start up again until Moshe at the burning bush, which means from last week's parsha, really before last week was already Vayeshev, was already, we don't have it anymore. Before Vayeshev, Vayishlach, when Yaakov returns to the land and he meets up with Esav and he settles there, Hashem speaks to him and gives him one final prophecy for that's the last that we hear of it. And then there's silence all the way through last week's parsha, Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayechi, all of those parshios, until Shmos, until the burning bush. And that's the reintroduction of open, overt prophecy communication between Hashem and the Jewish people. The only form of communication we have is dreams. The only form of communication that we have during this time period. The deep symbolism of that is beyond me. I'm sure there's many, many people who speak about it. I'm just commenting on that. The dream is a form of a prophecy, just a different form of a prophecy. In other words, in post-biblical times, post-Moshe, that is the form of how prophecy comes.
That's
Moshe,
what Maimonides talks about.
Everybody received prophecy. Moshe was the only one who received it awake and alert. Everybody else received prophecy in the form of a dream. And these dreams are the form of communication that we have during this time of a biblical history, this time period that we have. So Yosef, this is all that he has. Anyway, that's my introduction is, so the Abarbanel says, but when a prophet receives something, so he uses the language, it burns in his insides to share it. It's something that cannot be kept inside. When the Word of God is inside, He uses a language, it can't be contained. It's not something that I'll just keep this to myself. Like someone told me something and said, but don't tell anyone. It's impossible. It burns within him until it's expressed, which is partly what we see Yosef sharing his dreams last week, where one can ask the question, Yosef, my friend, you know your brothers don't like you. The Torah already said that because you were the favorite and you received the coat before your dreams. Why are you sharing these dreams? So the Barbanel writes this to this third point. Again, Rashi and the Ramban argue, was the aspect of Yosef saying, do this, was that part of the interpretation? Ramban says that was actually part of the interpretation, that the thin cows eat. Rashi seems to say that's, no, the fact that they ate amends it, it's going to be so bad we won't even have a remnant of it. So But the Rabbanan says, why did he add this point in? I don't care that I'm standing before the most powerful leader of the most powerful nation known to the world at the time. If I have something to say, and I feel like it's godly inspired, it's going to come out. And so he says, Paro, I have an idea for you. You should set up, and he says, to tell us Paro what to do. And Paro responds to that and says, it's a great idea. Has anyone seen somebody as wise and interpretive as this? And so he, in fact, follows it. One last point. I know I said last point before. One last point. We'll go a little bit. I just came a little bit late. One last point. How did Paro know this was the truth? He got so many interpretations.
Because he got it came from, he spoke from God.
So again, we have to ask that question. How did he know that this was the right one? Mm-hmm. He received many interpretations. Mm-hmm. What told him? He clearly didn't know what it meant on his own. He didn't know.
I didn't know that he had other people.
Yeah, the Torah says many of his officers and they all came.
Sorry, I missed that.
That's okay. It's okay. No, it's, I just want to show you. Sorry, one second. Yeah, Vayikras Kol. It's in verse 8, plus verse Chet. Vayikras Kol Chartumei Mitzrayim is Kol Chacham. All of the wise men of Mitzrayim came. He must have heard, I don't know, hundreds. What is it? The Torah says all his wise people came. So let's you know, modestly estimate 50 interpretations, 60 interpretations. Well, how did you know this was the right one?
But none could interpret them for Pharaoh.
Correct. None could give him the sense that this is right. So how did he know this is the right one?
It appeared good in his eyes.
Appeared good in his eyes. So again, just one last thought from the Chumash. She says, when a person encounters truth, they just know it from inside. There's a sense of truth that a person just feels. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you hear something, sometimes you hear something, it just is. It's just what we call a nugget of truth, that there's a sense of, that is right. That is right. And it's just she has a much more to say about that. I just thought to throw in that last little thought that sometimes, you know, there's the inner neshama of a person can hear something and it just feels
right.
Feels right. Feels like a correct pshat, the right
so
interpretation.
So this is the Chama Leibowitz?
Yeah, those are some of her thoughts. She writes very beautiful.
Is that from interpretations of, is this on the volumes of Tanakh? What is Leibowitz writing on?
She's writing on the Parsha.
On the Parsha.
Yeah.
So it's on the books of the Bible.
Yeah. She was a teacher for many, many, many years in Israel, a very well-respected scholarly teacher, and her classes were written up. Hebrew interpreted to English. Sure, probably other languages as well. Okay, so I'll leave you with those thoughts as we work through Yosef's interpretation of the dream, and look forward to wishing everybody a Feil Chanukah. We'll see you all next week, God willing. Apologies again for my tardiness.
Oh, we're still on next week. Good. Thank you.
Next week we'll
be breaking.
Next week we'll be on. After that, we'll take a break for a few weeks. But next week we'll be on still.
I kind of think Yosef was.